Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Any special offers for our listeners?
Yeah, why not? Let's let House Street listeners get a little benefit of a discount. We have a 50% offer we've been having out there for a while. The 2022 half off is the promo code to get 50% off of any of our newsletters, just as it sounds. 2022 half off. You go to VR Trader, that's Victor Robert, VRTrader.com, and enter it in the promo code. And I also like to disclose that I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice, though we've been publishing for 44 years.
Well, a little bit of a track record there.
Well, but like I said in previous interviews, I'm a survivor, still here.
Crude oil hit $90 a barrel for the first time since November. That's for West Texas. Is this going to be the peak, or is there still some wiggle room to go higher?
Oh, my goodness. That's significantly higher over time. But, you know, we got over the $90 a barrel level, and we've been discussing the energy stocks and some of the big names. In fact, if you remember, it's got to be a couple months back, I mentioned Warren Buffett. One of his biggest positions was Occidental Petroleum, and he obviously had insight about higher oil prices. And Oxy, I guess, he may have other plays, but that's the one he was talking about and taking a big position. I think he owns like 25% of the float of the company. So that was sort of a buy signal for oil. And I said, follow Warren Buffett. So but technically it looked good. And the question is, will it hit a little trading top here? It's a little extended. Will it pull back? A lot depends on, you know, facts in the real world. You know, the Saudis out there raising prices. Biden, President Biden, like, has been irresponsible in his conduct with regard to domestic energy issues. In fact, I just read he canceled some leases up in Alaska. You know, so he's really the enemy of the oil price in terms of you know, banning drilling, discouraging the drilling. In fact, they were releasing some energy from the emergency reserve, and they brought it down to some historically low levels, and there doesn't seem to be any anxious expectation here that he wants to refill it. But meanwhile, we're relying on foreign oil. You know, we need oil, and Saudi oil, Iranian oil, Russian oil, you know, and if he just you know, got his senses about him, and obviously he doesn't have those senses, but or he just, you know, has a destructive attitude regarding energy altogether, which apparently is the case when it was a wrong judgment. If he changed that, then prices would come down. North American production would go up. We would be less dependent on foreign oil. But, you know, it's an internal conspiracy among the left-wing Democrats to destroy the oil business, and they're not going to succeed because the world still uses oil, and our quote-unquote enemies are still producing it, and will continue to produce it, and we're not going to be, everyone's not driving electric vehicles tomorrow, and most of the oil is not used for electric vehicle usage anyway. It's, I mean, for domestic oil, the regular oil usage regularly, as I should say. It's used for a lot of other purposes. So the EV mentality is out there, and that's not enough to make his actions worthwhile in terms of making these decisions. So banning oil doesn't help the EV market. People are not going to buy the vehicles as readily. They're too expensive. There's not enough charging stations. There's enough power in the grid to power them. So it's just a mental illness, the whole process. But, you know, we get into that in a different discussion. So your question was, can it go higher? I guess it could. Maybe a lot higher, over 100 or even more than that. Will there be a correction somewhere along the way? If you look at the charts, it were extended. That could happen at any time. But it doesn't appear we've got a big trend change ahead that I could see. You know, maybe a dip and back up again. And if that changes, we'll act accordingly in terms of our commentary regarding the oil stocks.
Yes, Joseph Schachter, who we just did an interview with earlier today, points out the U.S. right now is not dependent on Saudi oil anymore. Very rarely do you have to import oil. Of course, we think of Canada and the U.S., I think, in the same breath when it comes to energy, don't we?
Yeah, we sure do. You know, we have to have an intelligent policy regarding it, and I think I already made my comment. I just think it's been irresponsible actions, and prices going up despite the so-called ban on energy that's been promulgated not only in our administration, I believe in the Canadian administration as well. So what else can I say? Listen, if you can make money on the long side or own the oil stocks or own the indexes, why not do it? There's a bull market somewhere, as the expression goes, and you just got to find where money is flowing. And it's funny, before this whole move took off, nobody wanted to touch crude oil. Everybody was negative on it. The charts were very depressed, and that's usually the way it is in the market. So I guess if we get too extreme to the upside, that we will get a reversal at some point. And I suppose on a political level, if the administration changes here in the U.S., more than a year from now, and more production comes on board, that will be a depressant on oil prices. So we'll have to wait for both politics domestically and what foreign governments, including Saudis, are going to do.
Well, just the transition from horse to automobile took 50, 60 years. People are still using horses to deliver milk back in the 60s in some communities. So to try to force this technological change without all the infrastructure in place, it's almost impossible to pull off this 2035 where no more gasoline or diesel or natural gas-powered vehicles will be allowed.
That's right. It's not going to happen overnight. And we already are seeing signs that there's some consumer resistance to it. Look, even Tesla had to cut prices on their automobiles. Now we've got an auto strike possibly starting here in the U.S. That's a whole other discussion. How much that affects the EV market or the regular market is to be seen. But at this point, we just got to track the numbers and look at the charts.
What's going on with the precious metals?
Well, they're suffering from a strong dollar, and possibly the plunge protection team or the or other government agencies out there that suppress gold prices, whether it's a plunge protection team or, there's other government agencies or acts out there that the government interferes with the marketplace. So, there's a lot of, there was a gold act that was passed in the 1930s. The connection to that is called the Exchange Stabilization Fund, which was a part of the Gold Reserve Act of 1934. And people don't talk about this, but this is the ability to go in there on the government's part to, play around with these markets. So it's a combination of inflation. It's a combination of the dollar being strong. It's a combination of whether there's government interference in the price. But, if you look back for the last 15, 20 years and compare the S&P to the performance of gold, gold's done pretty well, even though you had to, suffer through a lot of, violent swings there as well. I mean, fundamentally, I'm bullish just because it's been around 5,000-6,000 years, and currencies tend to go to zero over time, and governments are irresponsible. Even though at the moment, you know, if they are manipulating the market, the question is how long will that go on? In fact, there's an article that I posted in my newsletter about the manipulation in that market. Many people don't believe that's really the case, but a couple JP Morgan employee was just, I think, sent to prison for manipulation. It's a story in the news. You can read about that. And so, you know, this is all, I don't think he acted necessarily independently. I think this is, you know, government inspired. JP Morgan and the U.S. government are very close. They have been forever. And the old story, if you remember the turn of the last century, where JP Morgan Sr., the principal, actually helped bail out the U.S. government with gold when the U.S. government was short some money, believe it or not. I think, you know, what was that, you know, somewhere around the early 1900s, that event occurred. So there's a close relationship between the JP Morgan and the U.S. government and the Federal Reserve and all kinds of fun connections there. So, you know, is that still going on? The answer is probably yes. When banks start to fail, they go to JP Morgan Chase to be, and Jamie Dimon to bail out, you know, various banks. So, you know, again, they're involved in the gold market. So you ask the question, you know, it's a manipulated market. The dollar is strong, which works against gold. But yet, this has happened in previous decades. The government's been in there manipulating it for many, many years. The dollar goes up and down, but yet at some point gold takes off. And whether it's just temporary surges or, you know, consistent moves, you know, it really has been wild. And, you know, since the early 1970s, when the whole thing changed after Nixon took us off the gold standard. So I want to go from $30 an ounce up to 800, you know, and then, you know, all the way back down again to 300, and then up to 1800, and back to 1,000, and then from 1,000 to 2050, which has done that a couple, three times in the last 4 or 5 years, and now it's trading around the 1950 level. So, you know, It's a fun market. What can I tell you? And you know, you got to trade it, or you just got to forget about it and hold it, thinking one day government's going to back off. The BRICS group of nations are going to be successful, or some group like that, in creating a new currency backed by gold and destroying the dollar. In which case, gold could have astronomical value. These are all hypothetical scenarios. So. I'm being long-winded here. I mean, basically, it's a trade to me. It's, you can have a few coins. I guess you could own some, like you own real estate and any other diversification. Do I expect it to go up? Yes. When will it go up? I'm not sure. My model overall says by the end of the year, we should see some rally. So we'll see, if we bottom out here. But, if the dollar doesn't back off, it's going to be difficult for gold to really take off. So we'll just have to watch it day to day.
Anything going on with uranium?
It's been moving higher. Uranium itself has been moving higher for quite some time now, for just over a year or so. It's been trending higher. Uranium stocks, the big name, the blue chip name, Cameco, ticker symbol CCJ, made a new high. In fact, today Thursday, of over $40 a share. Which is sort of double to what it was, you know, about a year or so back. I can't answer why. You know, it makes sense that we should have more nuclear reactors. The military may have more need for it. There's all kinds of reasons why suddenly uranium took off at this particular moment. You know, obviously, if we're going to build a lot of nuclear reactors, and I don't see the U.S. doing that, though there's a new one in Georgia, worldwide demand may be there. There may be some secret programs underway that we're not known about. Maybe we need it for the Space Force in our outside Earth activities, but it has been trending higher, and you know, so somebody knows something. So it's been a bull market. And compared to some of the prices, for example, Cameco, it's still cheap relative to what it was, you know, a few decades ago. So, yeah, it's in an uptrend until it's not.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's happening on the cryptocurrency market?
Well, it's been volatile. There was a little shakeout, and then it's starting to come back. I have really no insights other than it's a trading market short-term, long-term. I'm bullish. The Ripple XRP story is being talked all over the place, and XRP is supposed to be the new miracle crypto, which can go up dramatically according to a lot of commentary. But the big name, of course, is Bitcoin itself, and you know, it still looks to me like it could be $75,000, $80,000 a coin in the next couple, 3 years, the way I look at the charts. And you got to be patient with it. It's almost like discussing gold. I mean, it's volatile. Crypto apparently much more volatile than gold. But, you know, there are moments where gold almost mirrors the volatility. In any event, it's a trading vehicle. But I think overall the trend is up. And, you know, there's even talk about an international crypto that the BRIC nations might create or use. There are some rumors that they might use XRP as the vehicle, or they may create another one. It's all just, you know, stories floating out there, you know what I mean? But the big story for Bitcoin, we've talked about this several times on these interviews, is Larry Fink over at BlackRock, who manages several trillions of dollars, who's applied to the Securities and Exchange Commission for an ETF for Bitcoin. And if and when, I'm sure it will, but I have to say if and when it gets approved, that's going to be a big support for Bitcoin. So stay positive, but recognize the volatility.
Now, on the crypto geocosmic front, NASA appointing a head to look at unexplained aerial phenomena, or as we used to call them, UFOs?
Is that a news story?
Yes, it is, sir.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we could spend 2 hours on that subject. The government's been involved in this story for decades, and the extraterrestrial phenomena has been around for thousands of years. You can go to medieval paintings and drawings that can show objects in the sky that were witnessed by people, you know, in the Dark Ages. So, you know, the bottom line is, you know, the bottom line story is we've reverse engineered alien craft. That's the ones we're seeing flying around, the UAPs that were released in the New York Times story and the government ultimately released. And then they're the real extraterrestrial alien craft also up there. I think we have more to worry about by the ones we created than we have to worry about the extraterrestrials that have been around for thousands of years. So it just when they say they're investigating, are they investigating themselves? Because we have this secret programs up there that have been around for decades that they're not telling us about. And I guess by showing us some of those craft, they're trying to maybe slowly release information, but I don't know if they're going to admit that it's our own craft, because I'm convinced that's the case, and this is based on a lot of research on my part. So two different parallel stories out there, the extraterrestrial story and the spacecraft that were kind of crashed, that we reverse engineered, and we see flying around up there, and we have advanced technology that they're not really describing to us, other than the fact they start to show some of these things, and then there's the real stuff, which is a whole other discussion. So that's really it. I think it's the greatest story of our time, honestly. And if those craft up there are what I believe is the UAP, our own reverse engineered craft, it's a tragedy, because they've withheld technology from us that could benefit all of us in significant ways, with anti-gravity and the ability to travel like that. I mean, why take a jet plane if you've got those type of advanced technologies that can move you from one point to another on the planet in a matter of minutes versus hours? So I think, or even leave the Earth and go to the moon or other planets, which is probably also the case. So, you know, it's really, you know, it's a well-kept secret, you know. The government has been doing this for a long time. And there's books and volumes and hundreds of hours of reading and videos you can study about the subject. But you know, that's a summary of it.
Also, I was thinking, what if they're using gravity as their power source? There's no money to be made in gravity because it's everywhere.
Maybe so, but they are controlling some powerful, you know, pieces of technology out there, and a lot of this came from reverse engineering stuff that has been going on for a long time. It's not just the U.S. Russia has reported this. England has reported this. China has activity. There's all kinds of, you know, if you really dig into it, and most people don't, if you really dig into it, it's a worldwide phenomenon, and it's just not the U.S. government or Canadian government. So even your former Canadian defense minister years ago came out with the story about you know, the secret activity going on in Canada and around the world. So it's an interesting subject. I follow it, and you know, if they can keep people in the dark. Of course, again, this has been going on for a long time. I mean, there's actually a photograph I saw of a UFO over Mount Washington in, it was photographed, I think, in 1896 or something, one of the earliest photographs. It was on the internet, and it was one of the earliest black and white photographies of a cylindrical shaped object that was way, way back. So this has been going on, and I say much longer than that, because we see it back in human history for hundreds or thousands of years. But government's pretty good in covering up, you know, military secrets and stuff. So I think this is what this is all about. And, you know, you can sit all day and worry about what the Federal Reserve is doing, or what Putin is doing in Ukraine, or the ultimate invasion of Taiwan by China because they're building up their military forces. But, you know, meanwhile, you can worry about all that stuff, but you can also think about what type of secret technology we have and where it all came from. So interesting times, you know. It's fun out there observing of this and commenting on it and researching it. So we'll see how it all plays out, Jim. You know, but definitely something I'm interested in.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com, our YouTube channel, Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.